Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. Well, my name is Alex Baer. I live in Redondo Beach, California. I've been married for 7 years and I have a 20-month-old son, which we love so much. His name is Aaron. And then so that's what I do on the personal side. On the professional side, I do consulting for consumer packaged goods. I help brands raise money online. And then I do also fractional sales for CPG brands as well.
Awesome. So I know that you've been like in the CPG space for a while, obviously, that you were on Shark Tank. So I'm curious about like your experience, like getting on Shark Tank and what that was, you know, all about, like in terms of that business versus your CPG consultant.
Yeah. So you're asking like Shark Tank versus everything else going on, the comparison.
Yeah.
Well, I started a brand called Genius Juice back in 2014. So it was a, we recently, depending on when this gets aired, but about 4 or 5 months ago, we seized operations for Genius Juice, but ran it for 10 years. And basically in 2020, we had an opportunity to go on Shark Tank and we got a deal on the air with Mark Cuban and Barbara Corcoran, which the deal fell through. So that was the Shark Tank experience. I could go for an hour on it, which I won't, but it was a lot of preparation. I applied 4 times to get on. Finally, my fourth time, 4 times a charm, not 3 times a charm. And then after Shark Tank, our sales went up. Everything was great. And then we eventually wound down Genius Juice because of some challenges, macroeconomic challenges, plus some internal challenges. And then so I shifted and pivoted to consulting in 2023 and really going into 2024 when we wound things down with Genius Juice. And now my passion is helping other brands succeed, grow, but I think most importantly, just avoid all the mistakes that you can make in this business. Because if you hit too many potholes and make too many mistakes, it could mean the difference between staying in business or being out of business.
For sure, yeah. CPG is a very tricky space. And I'm just curious from your perspective, because it is so challenging. Do you think that people will have to raise money to get started because it is so capital intensive? Or are there ways around raising money to actually start like any CPG business?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I think it's a kind of a complicated answer, which I'll try to simplify as much as I can. I think in the beginning, you have to raise some kind of capital. There's some owners, God bless them, where they can bootstrap it from the very beginning, but it just takes a long time, you know, when you don't have $100,000 or more in the bank. So it's good to have some starting capital just to do marketing, right? To, you know, even before marketing, just to develop the product, do R&D, figure out, you know, the best formula, do packaging design, which you have to really nail that to have a great product that sells well. And once you do all that, then you have to figure out your go-to-market strategy, maybe hire one person like a salesperson to help you. And that all takes money to bring a product from ideation to creation to execution on the shelf. And so like, you know, having a starter cash of like $100,000 is what typically just kind of the benchmark I recommend for my clients. But then like, obviously, once you start selling, it depends on how you run the business. If you have really strong margins and your expenses aren't too high, you can find ways around not having to continually raise capital by being profitable and then using that money to fuel more growth.
For sure. Yeah. It is a very tricky space because I feel like I think it's like a few companies that control most of the shelf space in grocery stores. Really, like, how do you compete with those big players that control about 85% of the shelf space in grocery today?
It's become harder and harder in this environment because you got brands that are doing what the small brands are doing, right? It's a big water bottle. Wow. So stay hydrated, everyone.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a reminder. But yeah, no, I think, you know, when you look at like brands like Olipop or Poppy, even now there's other big brands that are doing private label probiotic and prebiotic sodas that are trying to compete with them. But in this case, Olipop was far enough along to where no one can really mess with them, right? Like, no matter who comes in, no matter how much money's behind it, whether it's Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, private label, right. Trader Joe's, doesn't matter.
Right.
They're not going to be really hurting Olipop. If anything, they're probably helping them by right. bringing more awareness to the category of prebiotic and probiotic sodas. But if you're not far enough along and then a competitor comes in and competes with you, it could crush you if they have a lower price point with the same high quality product. So like in the past, it was really like, you know, I would say 6-7 years ago, brands were competing more and more on quality, right? And differentiation. But now products are not as differentiated anymore, where even these big companies are now coming out with versions of the natural products which are on the market. So I guess my long-winded answer is really just arriving at the answer of it's really hard, need to raise capital early on, get a head start and move as quickly as possible. And speed to market is really everything to establish yourself on the shelf.
So essentially it's become sort of like a race to the bottom, right? Because like, you know, these companies are coming and saying we're the same product, but it's cheaper. So buy it from us.
Yeah. I mean, you still have to have quality. So like, you know, race to the bottom, you don't want to, you know, sacrifice quality.
Sure.
And then also if you need to charge a dollar extra, you know, because you're a small brand, you can do that. But I think it's really about building your brand so people are loyal to your brand. And that's really the best way to get people to buy your product over, you know, a mainstream version of yours, right? So brand building, not sacrificing quality, and really communicating to the consumer, hey, mine is high quality, you should buy mine. So that's really important to grow your business.
Right. And so like you mentioned earlier that like a big part of your consulting is actually it's like advising brands to not make the same mistakes that you made in your career with Genius Juice. So I'm curious, like, what are some of those mistakes that you made that, you know, I guess like a few key highlights that you really just tell your brands that you're working with today?
Yeah, I just went through this with an interview with Mark Samuel over at Iwan Organics, who I'm sure you know from LinkedIn. Yeah. And I think, you know, the key mistakes, and I'll mention some that I mentioned during his interview and also some new ones that I didn't. The key mistakes that we made was supply chain with Genius Juice, where the product was just too expensive to make. And we fell in love with the formula, the quality of the product, which at the time was heavily differentiated. You know, we blended coconut water and coconut meat together into a smoothie. No one else was doing that at that point. And it was, you know, rock your socks off, delicious. I mean, it was an amazing, amazing product, but we didn't have the margin. We didn't have the economics in place. So it caused us to continually have to catch up and get better margins or increase volume in order to eventually arrive at a margin that would give us profit, right? Which we never really arrived at. We had stronger gross margins in the later years until the pandemic, but we did not really have, we never had profit. So I would say that was one of the biggest mistakes or just learnings that we had at Genius Juice. And I think number two is don't go too far too wide. You know, I mean, it's a classic mistake that a lot of brands make but they still make it. Like, you know, you think like, oh, people learn from hearing the stories that don't go to Kroger in your first year or 2 years, don't go to Walmart in your first year or 2 years, unless you have something that is really mainstream worthy. But even then, if you go to a mainstream grocery store, if you don't have the money and the marketing power to get people to try it, there's really no reason to launch it that wide that soon. So that's like a classic mistake a lot of brands make because they get dazzled by the fact they can get into 2,000 stores instantaneously with a couple POs, right? And they obviously suffer the consequences for that. And then I think, third is don't rush packaging design. That's another one that I have not mentioned on other shows, but I see brands do all the time is like, I consult brands and they show me, oh, this is the packaging. We're going to print it in about a month. I'm like looking at this. I'm like, did you properly go through the channels of doing focus grouping? Did you hire someone like Rich Insights where they actually track what people are looking at on the packaging, right? You pay them, but you track it to see what are they looking at? What do they see first on the packaging? Like these are all really important things to research and do with your brand and your packaging before bringing it on the market. And then also the taste. If it doesn't taste absolutely delicious and people don't love it, and it's not like a 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10, go back to the drawing board, because I'm so, you know, fascinated and shocked sometimes when there's a product on the shelf, final packaging on the shelf, and you buy it, it tastes terrible and you never buy it again, right? Which happens all the time in this business.
Right,
so
right.
So I think those are huge missteps that a lot of young brands make.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing. And I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? You want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technology like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
Right. So instead of going directly to Kroger, it's like a large chain, what would you recommend? Is it more like small mom and pops? Is it direct to consumer, Amazon? Like, how should somebody get started just to get trial in the early days?
Depends on the brand, depends on shelf stable, refrigerated. It's all case by case. But okay. I mean, you know, brands like IQ Bar, you know, I reference Will Nitza, who's brilliant, right, where they started D2C because it's small, it's light, and it's shelf stable. So right. D2C was a really good play. Plus, he had a lot of prior knowledge on how to execute on D2C, right? And how to make it successful. But typically, just kind of the overall go-to-market 101 is that you want to start local. You want to start in your backyard. You want to dominate your backyard. And you want to go to stores that are within 50 miles of you. So for us at Genius Juice, we did do that for the first 3 or 4 years. Is we're in Southern California. We went to Mother's Market, Bristol Farms, you know, Whole Foods local, back when there was a local, more of a local program. We didn't really go to the major retailers until our fifth or sixth year in. So I think, like, generally that's what you want to do, especially if you're refrigerated and you have shorter shelf life. You don't want to try to go too wide where you have to distribute and it could take 15, 20 days just for it to get to shelf and you lose a bunch of shelf life. So, but typically that's like just the general rules of how you grow a brand the first few years.
Yeah. If it's refrigerated, I mean, that definitely makes sense. So these kind of like smaller chains. And for you, I mean, do you recommend, I mean, I'm assuming that like the founders have to go and you could say sort of hustle and go to the stores and do like all the samplings, things like that, or hiring it out. Like, what does that look like in terms of like getting people to actually try your product?
Yeah, I mean, in the early days, if it's local, it's a lot easier because you can manage it, right? You can physically go to the store. You can see the product on shelf. A lot of times the founders are doing the demos, you know, for the first year, right? They're out there hustling nonstop, which I wish I had it in me, but I don't think I can do it like I did it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. And so you can also get feedback from the market to see how it's doing. And I like to, with brands, you want to prove a microcosm before you go to the macrocosm. So proving it out at 100 stores locally, and if the velocity and the performance on your brand is ecstatically amazing, that tells a really strong story that, hey, if I take this from 100 stores to 1,000 stores or 100 to 500, and I go into these other natural, you know, grocery stores, this could be big. And that's a really good story to raise capital if you need to, right? Depending, again, case by case. But if you're looking for a seed round for $1 million or $2 million, it tells a really strong story when you go into the investor meeting and say, I'm moving tons of units per store in the stores that we're in locally, you know, where we're headquartered. So that's really important.
Awesome. So I guess like one other thing that, you know, I guess many founders are looking at is AI. So is AI something that you're working with in terms of your clients? So where do you see maybe bring value in the CPG space, if at all?
Yeah, we just had, not to cross promote too much, if you allow me to, but I have a podcast called CPG Vibes, and we talk all things consumer packaged goods. We're one of the top rated CPG podcast specifically, but we had an episode on AI. I think it was episode 119 or 118. I don't know a lot about AI. I'm 41, so I'm kind of in the older, not old, but older generation, kind of the Gen Xers.
Right.
And so what I basically use AI for is OpenAI. You know, if I need to retype something, I don't like to use it because I do consulting and crowdfunding consulting. I do not use it to write out copy for my clients, right? Because number one, it's, I think, a disservice to them that I'm not doing the work and I'm just relying on AI. Right. Number two, AI doesn't know the full story of the brand and the product, right? They just can't, that AI, they, I guess, can't tell the story like a human being can, since I have the context around my client's story. And story is very powerful for people to connect to. So AI, I think for that is really good. Canva has some AI components to it where you can do designs. I use a graphic design agency that they utilize AI when they're making their graphics to make it a lot faster and more efficient. But personally, I'm still old school. I'm not using AI like every day or anything like that.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, what I help on is the crowdfunding consulting, meaning if you're raising on WeFunder or StartEngine or Republic, and it's a security-based raise, and you'd like to do one of your rounds online versus directly from angel investors, that's what I help with if food and beverage brands need to raise capital to grow their business. So that's what I do for my business. Then I also do general CPG consulting, just helping with everything we talked about: strategy, go to market, margin, analysis and control, where to go, where not to go, mistakes to avoid, all these things, pitfalls to avoid. So the best way to reach out to me is just either on LinkedIn. So just Alex Baer, Bayer, on LinkedIn. The other way is just emailing me, and my consulting company is called Genius Dreams instead of Genius Juice. And it's alex@geniusdreams, plural, .co. So not .com, but .co.
Awesome. Well, Alex, thank you so much for your time today. Of
Thank you so much for having me on, Dan.
course, thank you. All right, bye.